I was driving alone from my friend's place all the way back home. He lived about an hour away at some really remote house. It was around 1 or 2 a.m. I can't remember exactly, but I was really tired and almost just wanted to sleep over at his place. I would have had to call off work though, which wasn't really an option. Because of where he lived, most of the drive was through large farmlands. I had some music playing to keep myself awake, and I just stared at the empty road ahead. About 20 minutes in though, my headlights lit up something right in the middle of the road. I slowed down, slamming on my brakes a bit harder than I had to. It was a suitcase, like a full, unopened suitcase, just standing up in the middle of the road. I probably stared at it for an odd amount of time because I was so tired and caught off guard by it. I decided to just go into the oncoming lane and go around it. I really wasn't in the mood to get out and move it or anything. It was definitely odd that it was standing upright like that, but it had to have just fallen out of someone's truck and happened to land like that. I couldn't think of any other reason. I kept driving, thinking about it for a little bit, but ultimately forgetting about it pretty quickly. Maybe 5 minutes passed. The roads were still quiet. I was just cruising along, but then again, something came up in my headlights. This time, it was a truck, parked in the middle of the lane. None of its lights or blinkers were on. If I didn't have my high beams on, this could have been dangerously close. I stopped behind them and waited for a second, then honked a few times. The truck didn't move at all. I didn't even see any movement inside of it through the back window. After waiting for 30 seconds, I started to slowly go around it. As I did, I noticed it had a few large dents and scrapes on the side. I couldn't tell if it was from a recent accident or not. It could have been one of those old trucks that just never repaired any of its parts. More concerning though, I didn't see anyone inside the truck. It was still dark looking through the windows, but I didn't see any shape or outline of anyone sitting in either the front or the back. I pulled further up and in front of it, getting back onto my side of the road, then slowed even more to look around. It was still just farmland in all directions. Why would someone park right there and leave their vehicle? There was nothing here. I felt strange about it, kind of creeped out honestly. I continued down the road. I just had a bad feeling about it, and I didn't want to stay too long to see it through. After that, I was definitely more awake. Was the suitcase and the truck somehow connected, or were they both just conveniently in the middle of the road? I never saw anyone on the side of the road going back to get the suitcase, so I don't know. But I only made it another minute before I was forced to stop for a third time. There was a person in the road. He was standing in my lane and waving his arms at me to stop. He looked early 40s and pretty disheveled. Messy hair, cuts and scrapes on his hands and arms, and overall just not in good shape. Once my tires stopped moving, he smiled and walked up to my window.
"Hey, did you see a truck not too far back that way?"
I said yes, I did.
"Think you could give me a lift back there?"
Before answering, I asked why it was parked in the road like that, and what he was doing out here, which I felt like, given the circumstance, these were reasonable questions to ask. The man stumbled over his words for a second before settling on saying he ran out of gas and was trying to walk to a gas station. But then, why would I drive him back to the truck? Wouldn't he have asked me to drive him to the gas station? He kept talking though, like he wasn't letting me think too hard about it. Now it was me stumbling over my words, trying to think of an excuse to say no. But my eyes wandered behind him and happened to see something sticking out of the crops on the side of the road. It looked like the tail end of a small car. It was deep into the crops. I could only see one of the rear headlights slightly reflecting the light from my car. I didn't know what the hell was going on, but I knew whatever it was wasn't good. I rolled the window up, and the man instantly went from smiling to frowning, and he started yelling and hitting the window. I pulled away and sped down the road. I got my phone out quickly after and called the cops. Reportedly, the truck was gone when they got there, but the car I saw in the crops was still there, and I guess the scene was far worse than I imagined. That was someone else's car, and the driver in it was no longer alive. Not from a crash, though. It seemed they likely picked up a hitchhiker, the guy I saw, and unfortunately, that was the last thing they ever did. It's assumed that the suitcase and the truck in the road had something to do with getting the car to pull over and pick him up. It's not for certain, though, but obviously the hitchhiker I saw was not telling the truth about his truck running out of gas. It all likely was just an act of violence by some crazy guy for no real reason, which makes it even more terrifying that I was that close to him, and he wanted me to let him in my car, just like the other guy had. The man was never identified.
This happened about 3 years ago, and it was just after I had gotten into university. I was really proud of myself, and I had managed to pass a really difficult entrance exam, and I was looking forward to trying life in the city alone for the first time. I knew it was going to be a big step, but I was ready for it. I come from the countryside, so it was going to be all new for me and tough to leave the little support network and friends that I made there. My first year at university was a mix of excitement and adjustment. I made friends with some other students, and my mom would often come to visit, using my place as a kind of hotel. I didn't mind. It was nice to hear how my family was doing and see her, and I guess it was her way of making sure that I was okay, and I guess that she missed me too. When I started my second year of university in April, my mom came to visit again. Apparently one of her favorite artists had a concert nearby, so she decided to use my place as her hotel, as per usual. I thought at the time, oh great, here we go again, but since she sends me money every month, I couldn't really complain. I didn't want to risk having my allowance reduced, and those were the days. Now that morning she said, I'm going to the concert today, so I'll be back pretty late. Okay. And out of nowhere she said, so how do you feel about this apartment? What do you mean? I asked, a little taken aback by the sudden question. Any weird neighbors or noisy people or anything? I don't know, I replied. Between my part-time job, classes, and parties, I hardly knew who lived in my building. But I did remember that there was a girl from the same university on my floor. She seemed pretty outgoing, always having friends over for drinks, and I envied her a bit for that. Well, whatever. You got work today, right? My mom asked. Yeah, I nodded. Try not to stay out too late. Okay. I wanted to tell her to come home early too, but I just kept that thought to myself. When I got back then at night and said I'm back, the apartment was pitch black. It was 8:30 p.m. and my mom wasn't back yet. I was hungry, but since it was a bit warm and sweaty that day, I decided to just take a shower first. While I was in the shower, I heard some rattling sounds, and I figured my mom had come back. I saw a dark figure moving through the frosted glass door as she entered the bathroom. Oh, you're back early, Mom, I called out, but there was no response. Hey, do you want to go get some ramen? I asked, and I heard a tsh sound, like someone clicking their tongue, and with that, the dark figure disappeared. What's up with that? I thought, stepping out of the bathroom. She usually loved ramen. As soon as I got out of the bathroom, a smell hit me immediately. Ugh, that stinks, I blurted out. It smelled like kerosene, which was weird because I didn't use a kerosene heater. As I was wondering why, I heard the front door unlocking and my mom walked in. You came in just to go back outside again? I asked, confused. And she looked at me, kind of puzzled. What do you mean? Didn't you just come in a few minutes ago? No, I just got here. she said, holding bags filled with concert merchandise. So who was that in the bathroom? My mind raced as I told my mom what happened. Panicked, she called the police, and they came right away. We quickly discovered that nothing was stolen and that there were no signs of forced entry. I guess I didn't fully close the door when I walked in, or something. And the police suggested maybe it was just a misunderstanding. Maybe a neighbor had one too many drinks and walked in what they thought was their apartment but got it wrong, realized their error and left. And my mom was furious, but it made me wonder if I had imagined it all. Maybe I was just tired. I wasn't able to fully convince myself of that because of that strange smell of kerosene. The week after that strange incident was one of the longest and most nerve-wracking of my life. I couldn't shake off the feeling that something was off, and I found myself jumping at every little noise and double-checking the locks on my door multiple times a day. I even contemplated moving to a different place, but my lease wasn't up, and finding a new apartment in the city wasn't easy or cheap. A week after that strange incident, something terrible happened. The girl who lived on my floor was murdered by the middle-aged man who lived below us. After he went through that terrible act, he set his apartment on fire, and he went with it. The news and internet said the girl had riled up other neighbors by having parties often and making lots of noise, and that's why she was targeted. But that wasn't really true. Even when she had friends over, you could barely hear them. The revelation hit me like a ton of bricks. I couldn't help but wonder if the dark figure I saw that day was actually him. Maybe I was his initial target, but he backed off because my mom was there and would come back soon. The idea that I could have been in that poor girl's shoes kept me awake at night, and for days I replayed the incident in my head, trying to find some clarity, some sign that could tell me what really happened. I remembered every detail, the sound of the door, the figure behind the frosted glass, and the smell of kerosene. It was all too real to have been a figment of my imagination. I'll never know for sure what happened that night, and that uncertainty is something that I've had to live with. The police closed the case quickly after the man died, labeling him as a deranged individual with a grudge against the noisy neighbors. They didn't dig any deeper, and there were no leads, no witnesses besides me, and I wasn't even sure of what I saw. All I can do is pray for the girl who lost her life. May she rest in peace. Even now, years later, I occasionally think back to that night. This happened approximately 10 years ago, around 2015 to 2016. I was living with someone at the time who worked an opposite schedule as me. He worked graveyard shift and I worked during the day. So when I was getting up and getting ready to leave for work, he was just coming home. On the nights during the week, I obviously would be at home by myself. And one night during the week, I was feeling especially lonely and my favorite toy unfortunately broke and died. So I decided to drive downtown to the 24-hour adult store to buy another one. The town I live in is a mid-sized suburban town filled with mostly residential areas. The main downtown area was essentially one small area on the way to the freeway, and my apartment was 10 minutes away. I pulled into the parking lot behind the adult store. The parking lot was dark and had multiple entries all around that led to the bars and restaurants as well as the store. After parking my car, I walked towards the entrance of the store, which was on the street, and to do so, I had to walk towards the driveway that I came in to park. And upon walking to the entrance, I noticed a man standing by himself smoking a cigarette. It was 1 a.m. and not normal to just see only one person standing by themselves there, though I figured he was one of the patrons from one of the bars on the block taking a cigarette break. And as I walked passing him, he says, "Hi." To which I responded with a very quiet hi, but didn't make eye contact with him, and upon passing him I had a better look at his appearance. He had a shaved head, wore a long white t-shirt with shorts hanging past his knees, and he had a pair of sneakers accompanied with some tube socks that covered his shins. This is not unusual to see in my town, but I was more concerned that he was sitting by himself and instantly took an interest in me as I walked past him. After passing him and continuing to walk to the store, I saw out of the corner of my eye the man proceeding to follow behind me. When I say follow, I don't mean he coincidentally was walking behind me. He immediately followed right behind me as soon as I passed him, making a point to maintain the same walking speed. I did not know this man's intentions, but a man by himself that late at night is a recipe for trouble. And as I looked down the dark and empty street, I weighed out my options of where to go. Initially, I thought, keep walking so he doesn't know that you're going to the adult store. But since it was 1 a.m. and there was no one on the street, I thought that to be probably more dangerous. Then I thought, just go in one of the bars. But then I thought that that would give him an easier introduction to approach me. So then I realized my best bet was to continue into the store where I knew it was well lit and people could see me. I proceeded to shop for what I came there for, and the man entered the store behind me, but hung out at the front of the store so as not to look like he was following me around. He wasn't even pretending to shop. He literally just sat at the front, waiting. And as I was shopping, I heard the man make sort of a sound, to which I ignored. And he wasn't getting the message, and he continued to make this S sound as I continued to shop without noticing. And eventually, I walked up to the cashier, who was completely oblivious to what was going on, and I tried to whisper to the cashier, "Do you know what that man, or does he work here?" The cashier asked me to repeat what I was saying, and asked again, but still spoke in a quiet voice. Not understanding my attempt to be discreet, the cashier responded, "I can't hear you, say it again." At this point, I felt like my cover was blown, so in a more normal tone, I told the cashier the man in front followed me from outside and won't leave me alone. I explained my car was parked in the lot behind the store and I didn't feel comfortable going to my car, and the cashier said okay. The cash wrap area was an enclosed square-shaped counter to maintain distance between the staff and the customers. The cashier walked to the front by where the man was and from behind the counter told the man to leave. He then came up and reassured me that he told the man to go away, though the man did not, in fact, go away. He continued to stay there. Given that I didn't want him to follow me to my car, I stayed in the store and pretended that I was still shopping, even though I had already found what I came for. I would occasionally glance at the front to see if the man was still there, and he was. And I kept going up to the cashier, explaining that the man hadn't left, so he went back up to the front to talk to him. I heard the cashier say, "All right, enough already, leave the store." And while he was doing this, I went to the far back end of the store to remain out of sight. And by the time I circled back to the cashier, I noticed the man was no longer there. The cashier said that he repeatedly and more assertively told the man to leave. He said the man claimed that he didn't understand English. The cashier then pulled a baton that he kept under the counter for protection and held it over his head and asked the man, "Do you understand this?" To which the man finally left the store. I made my purchase but was still worried about walking to my car, even though I was parked in one of the first spaces near the driveway entrance. The cashier pointed at a small TV behind him that had four angles of CCTV footage, and he assured me that the man was gone and told me to come back into the store if I saw him again. He also said he would watch as I walked to my car. Even though I would have felt more comfortable if he had walked me to my car, I understood that he was by himself and couldn't leave the store unattended with customers. And after making my purchase, I sped walked to my car, and I always have my keys ready when walking to my car, so I promptly pressed unlock on my car remote, got in, placed my bag of purchases on the passenger seat, and proceeded to start the car. Once my car turned on, I took off the emergency brake, put the car in reverse, and while putting on my seatbelt, I looked in my side view mirror to back out. It was at this point that I saw that same man in the mirror, full-on speed-walking right toward my driver's side door. And as soon as I saw him, I hit the gas and violently pulled out of the parking space. I pulled out so fast that it startled him, stopping him dead in his tracks, and he was now standing right next to my driver's side door as I continued to pull out. I gave him the most serious, dead stare I could because I know most predators feed off the fear of their victims. The stare must have worked. As soon as he saw me pulling out while staring at him, he turned his head back toward the driveway entrance and proceeded to walk back to where he had been standing. He had a look of defeat on his face. My face, however, was overcome with relief. I pulled out of the parking lot and took myself back home. and I felt a bit ashamed for being out so late by myself, and I did tell my boyfriend about the incident when he came home at 6 a.m. He also agreed that going out that late alone wasn't the smartest decision, and I'm no longer with that person, but I still live in the same town, though I never leave my home for anything past 9 o'clock anymore. While the town I live in isn't the most dangerous, there are still enough crimes that occur here that it's also not considered the safest. I'm a 19-year-old female living in the Pacific Northwest. A couple of months ago, I was looking for extra work because my hours at my regular job were terrible. I'm quiet, anxious, and don't have any friends, so, of course, I turned to Craigslist. I knew the site could be sketchy, but I was desperate for side gigs and hadn't had any luck as someone with no skills and not willing to do OnlyFans. One ad caught my attention. It offered $50 for someone to take photos of a property using either a camera or something above an iPhone 12. I have an iPhone 14, promising that it would only take an hour or two. I emailed the poster and soon got a text back, and the man said that I seemed like the perfect fit and invited me over that same day. What's funny is I actually made a post on r/tooafraidtoask asking if it was a dumb idea, and everyone told me to take a person with me. I didn't, and deleted that post shortly after. The house was about 20 minutes outside of town, surrounded by dense forests. It was small and run down, but nothing really raised alarms, and the man who greeted me looked like he was maybe in his mid-50s, unremarkable. He invited me inside, and the house was completely empty. No furniture, just dust and dirt. I asked where to start taking photos, but he kept dodging the question, making small talk and asking personal questions about me instead. My anxiety was building, so I kept the small talk going, but then he began staring at me intensely. I dropped my phone at one point when we eventually started taking photos throughout the house, and when he picked it up, he held on to it a little too long before giving it back. Unprompted while taking photos of the master bedroom, he brushed my face with his hand and complimented my skin. I knew it was stupid coming here, but at that point, my blood truly ran cold, and I was done making excuses in my head. I made a quick excuse to leave, something about my mom, but when I turned toward the door, he grabbed my arm. I still have the picture that I took after the ordeal of the bruises on my forearm, and it felt like it was going to get snapped in half. I had brought a small knife for self-defense, a gift from my paranoid mom who would have never let me come here if she had known, and without thinking, I pulled it out and stabbed him in the arm. It was released with the push of a small button, and he let go, swinging at my arm with the knife, but I already was running out of the house. I got into my car and drove until I reached the gas station and my heart was calm. I called the police and explained everything. They did take it seriously, and I came in to make a report and answer some questions. They searched that property in the surrounding forest but didn't find him, and the house had turned out to be abandoned, and in the basement, they found a pack of zip ties. A report was made, but I know he's still out there. I call sometimes for updates, but it's never anything of substance. I've never told anyone about this other than the police, not even my mom. And I know typing this, I sound pretty unbothered, but that was the first time anything like that has ever happened to me, and I have trouble leaving my house most days. I decided to type this out here as maybe a way of getting it off my chest, since it plagues my thoughts constantly.
Our official merch store is finally here. If you want to support more of our channel, check out our merch shop. The link is in the description down below. See you on the next video.